The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Christ. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but is for those who whom has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave to all. For the Son of Man came not to serve, but came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
May the works that I've done speak for me. May the life that I live speak for me. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Please be seated. May not surprise some of you, but I went to a Catholic high school for most of my high school years anyway. My last semester was at a public school here in Tucson. Things got a bit hairy preparing for graduation, as not all of my credits from the private school lined up with the public school requirements for Arizona. For instance, I needed 2 years of PE. So, as a senior, that's how I came to be taking PE for 4 hours a day at Tucson High School. Just across the street from Tucson High, so right there at the corner where the U of A is, some of you may not know, but there's a mosque there. You've probably seen it and not known it for what it was. But across the facade of that mosque, in 2-foot-tall letters, is the motto, "Happiness is submission to God." 2 feet tall. Happiness is submission to God. How does one submit to God? Could it be as simple as following the commandments? Could it be as easy as following Jesus? James and John in today's reading sound like that might be the answer. They think that that's probably the answer. To be his disciple and ask him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left." in your glory. John Calvin said that this passage shows that proper and holy zeal is often accompanied by ambition or some other vice of the flesh, so that they who follow Christ have a different object in view from what they ought to have. Vanity and ambition have been around for a long time. An equally long-standing human trait is leaders wanting to benefit themselves. Whether it be leaders in government, business, academia, or religion. We often face the problem of how to align the interests of leaders with the interests of followers, with the interests of the goal, following that goal, the overall goal or mission. Just before today's reading, Jesus, through Mark, tells us that he is going to die, that he's going to be condemned and executed. James and John, not knowing how soon this might be, think of power and ask to be at his side in his glory. Jesus tells them they don't know what they're asking. He asks the brothers if they think they can drink from the same cup and be baptized with the same baptism. Not knowing that they will soon sacrifice everything, but instead still thinking of power and glory, their response is, "We are able." Jesus, however, knows what's about to happen. He knows submission to God and has been trying to show the disciples true leadership is as a servant leader. The goal is to serve, not to be served. Whoever would be first must be last. Diocesan convention was this weekend at St. Philip's. Leaders and delegates from around the state gathered to make decisions to guide us forwards towards that goal, towards our goal, submission to God. We need to have trust that our rector and our bishop, we need to have trust in our rector and our bishop, that the choices made are aligned with what we as a congregation and a diocese see as a goal. We need to trust that they voted in the best interest of all and not just thinking of their own glory, as James and John seem to have been doing. Jesus' rebuke to the disciples is a reminder to what we as humans need to remember, that we are all human, and to remember to never set our hopes and ambitions too high. Even the best and most committed amongst us can be subject to ambition and vanity. Submitting to God, praying to God, and one should pray frequently, genuinely. Submitting to God and looking inwardly to our own motives, searching always for the greater good. As Jesus showed compassion to the disciples in their moment of weakness, other leaders must do with their followers. Help them to examine their motives. Helping each other to be a community, to be honest with each other, a community of accountability. We need to come to terms with our own humanity. Henry Nouwen wrote, "Only those who face their wounded condition can be available for healing, and so enter a new way of living." When we are honest with ourselves about our condition, we can begin a journey towards wholeness. Jesus was whole and came not to be served, but to serve. Transformation happens through servanthood. Earlier in Mark, we heard the story of the man with many possessions. When asked about eternal life, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Following Jesus, submitting to God, even in unorthodox ways, can lead to wholeness. Servanthood, submitting to God, can be a means to grace. St. Francis said it well. O divine master, grant that I may not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. My prayer for all of you is that when you are born in eternal life, you won't be arguing about the seating. As another great philosopher said, "I'm just happy to be here." Amen.